to present yourself to the Lord. No person is going to be used by God unless they come and say, Lord, I'm yours. I'm here. God's a gentleman. God's not going to force himself upon you. Now, verse number 2, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Secondly, there has to be a cooperation on your part. You have to quit hanging around with the world and following the world's ways, and you have to be transformed by the renewing of your mind and follow God's ways. And then verses 3 through 6, notice this. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to everyone that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as ye have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, and then he begins to list them here, verses 6 to 8. If it's prophecy, let us prophesy, number one, according to the proportion of faith. Number two, ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Number three, he that teacheth on teaching. Number four, he that exhorteth on exhortation. Number five, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Number six, he that ruleth with diligence. And number seven, the one we went over last week, he that showeth mercy, they're to do it with cheerfulness. And when we looked at verses 3 to 6, we found that this is something that is to be done for the benefit of the body and for the glory of God. The gift that God has given to you is not your showcase. It's not for you to walk around and say, well, look at what God's gifted me. I'm God's gift in this area. I have the gift of mercy. Look what I can do. I have the gift of giving. Look what I can do. That's not the whole thrust of this. In fact, I wish I had time tonight. I will not turn there. But I would challenge you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, which is a parallel passage to Romans chapter 12. And there in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you find the emphasis on the many members being part of one body. So tonight here, we have a number of people that are in this auditorium, and all of you are gifted in a different way, have a different personality, different temperament, different upbringing, and God has gifted you in one way, and you are a contribution, if you will, to the body of believers here locally at Calvary Baptist Church. Now, as you look here up at this stage, in fact, this is the analogy that 1 Corinthians chapter 12 gives. As you look up here at me tonight, you're looking at one complete body. Head, torso, legs, all of that. Every part of my body is here, but it's one complete body. But there are many parts to the body, and every part has a different function. My eyes function for a particular reason so I can see where I'm going. My hands are to pick things up. My feet take me and walk various places. All the organs that are in my body have a particular function. Can I say tonight, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that God has brought you, or God is in the process of bringing you to become part of this local body, because it might be that you are the hands of the body. It might be that you're the eyes, the ears, the nose. Maybe you're the feet. Maybe you're one of the organs. Maybe you're one other part. Maybe it's a part that's not really seen and really not known much, but you are still a part. Every part of my body is important, and it all works together. And I love the way Paul puts it. Imagine if the hand said, you know what, I'm tired of picking things up. I'd like to be the eyes. Imagine if the eyes said, you know what, I'm tired of looking around. I'd like to go ahead and just be the feet once in a while, just kind of be hidden in a pair of shoes. Every person is gifted. The Holy Spirit has gone out of his direction, out of his will, and he has said, all right, I want to give this gift to that one. I want to give this gift to this one. I want to give that gift to this one. I want to give that gift to this one. And you have one or more, possibly, motivational gifts that are given to you. These seven gifts that we looked at, one of those gifts has been given to you. God has placed it upon you, and it's a gift that's not to be hidden. It's a gift that's not to be just shoved aside. It is a gift that is to be yielded to, that is to be exercised, and it is to be used in the body for the local, for the glory of God. And so tonight, what I want to do is just wrap up here very briefly and ask this question. Where do you fit in? Number one, I want you to just review the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy. Now, I don't know if you can tell on here, but on each piece of the puzzle is one of those gifts listed. If you remember the gift of prophecy, it is the gift of a person who boldly proclaims the word of God, the truth of God. This is, can be a person who loves to get out and share the gospel as a soul winner. This can be somebody who can rightly assess the world's condition in today's society that we live in and rightly divide the word of God so others may understand it. This is a person who desires to give the word of God to people who need a word from God. So that's kind of the gift of prophecy. Many times a gift of prophecy is wrapped up in a person who is a preacher. Many times it's seen in a pastor, maybe in an evangelist, maybe in a very bold person, a bold leader in the church. But very simply, it is one who boldly proclaims God's truth to God's people. Now, if you have the gift of prophecy, what ministries could you be involved in? It might be that you might want to help develop teaching material for the church. It may be that you're going to get involved and counsel other people. It might be that you have a desire to get out and do some soul winning. Maybe you love to be in helping people who come forward at the invitation. You have the ability to help people rightly divide the word of truth. Maybe you'll involve yourself in ministries that involve a sense of boldness. There's some ministries that I would love to see us start here. I'd love to see us start an addictions program. I'd love to see us start a prison ministry. You know who'd be good at those ministries? A person who's a prophet. A person who can boldly proclaim God's truth to people who need it. Number two gift that we looked at was the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. Now, what does that gift look like? Well, if you remember when we went through that, simply put, this gift is a person who identifies an unfinished job and he pulls the resources together to complete that job. That's a person with the gift of mercy or the gift of ministry. This is a person who has a desire to serve other people. It is someone who is task-oriented. He doesn't necessarily care to be involved in the decision-making. This is the type of person I've heard this many times. Look, I don't want to make any decisions. I just want to be told what to do. I love those people. I mean, they're just, look, I don't want any involvement. I don't want any decision making. You just tell me what to do, and I'll just go ahead and do it. That's the person who has the gift of ministry. And they just simply love to be a help. Now, what ministries could this person with the gift of ministry be involved in? They could be involved in janitorial cleaning. We got a lot of cleaning to do around at Calvary Baptist Church. They could be an usher. They could be involved in the maintenance here of our grounds, our building, our vehicles. They could be a help to a leader of a ministry, or if we have a special event coming along, that person can come and say, you know what, I want to help you. Just tell me what to do. Just tell me what to do. That's the person with the gift of ministry. This could be someone assisting in the nursery, somebody assisting with the audio and video ministry, someone coming out and helping out the widows with their needs. And I put this one in because the secretary asked me to assist the secretary with office needs. Those are, all of those things are things that are behind the scenes many times. But you know, that's the person with the gift of ministry. They don't want the limelight. They just say, look, just give me a task. I'll do it. I'll make it happen. This could be involved in the kitchen. Oh, with the amount of meals and the fellowships that we have going on, it's wonderful to have people jump in. And again, may I say just a hearty thank you to every one of the ladies that helped out yesterday. Thank you so much. What a blessing that was to the Bagley family. And it was just a beautiful time. Number three, the gift of teaching. Now, you can just follow these along. in verses 7 here, you'll see the gift of teaching. What did that gift look like? Well, in reality, this is somebody who has the ability to instruct others in the Word of God for the purpose of that person having an understanding of the Word of God. The person with the gift of teaching loves to study. The person with the gift of teaching has an ability to present the truth in an organized and methodical fashion. Have you ever heard somebody teach or preach that you just got lost while they were preaching? Probably that person doesn't have the gift of teaching, all right? Maybe God's called them to be a pastor, and maybe they're pastoring a church, but I have sat under some sermons like that. You walk out, and maybe your wife says to you, what did the preacher preach on tonight? I don't know, but he went a lot of different places, you know? But that's not the person with the gift of teaching. They have a way of being methodical in their approach. They know, like taking a trip, where they're starting and where they're going and how they're going to get from point A to point B. That's the person with the gift of teaching. The person with the gift of teaching enjoys when people learn and grasp truth. Now, if I have the gift of teaching, what ministries could I be involved in? Well, obvious. Teach Sunday school. Preach from time to time. Be involved in the discipleship of other people. You say, well, is that really teaching? Sometimes we think of teaching of just getting behind a pulpit or a lectern and being before a bunch of people. But do you know teaching is one-on-one, just like it is in a classroom setting? So discipleship one-on-one is very important. It might be that you could teach a children's choir or choir. It might be that you could teach or preach in the nursing home ministry. Maybe you might be involved in teaching a specialized Bible study like a men's Bible study or a women's Bible study, or maybe be involved in vacation Bible school. But that's the ministry of teaching. Now, number four, the gift of exhortation. The gift of exhortation. You remember what this looked like? This is a person who comes alongside another in the time of difficulty, and they give a word of encouragement. Every person likes an exhorter, don't they? An exhorter is so important. The exhorter is a person that has the ability to just kind of wrap their arms and just bring a little bit of comfort at that time. What ministries can an exhorter be involved in? An exhorter makes a great church greeter. Excellent church greeter. An exhorter is a person that could take time before the services and look for people to maybe give a word of encouragement. An exhorter can be somebody that could make a ministry out of visiting hospitals. An exhorter would be great at visiting the widows and giving them a word of encouragement. An exhorter could have a ministry in the closet of their home of being a prayer warrior for the church ministries and for the pastor and for the deacons and for the leadership of Calvary Baptist Church. An exhorter can speak encouraging words to visitors, new members, those who make decisions at the altar. An exhorter can have a real great ministry by sending out emails to people, sending out text messages, or for those of you that are still old-fashioned, postcards. We had a lady at our church, Marilyn Rose, sweet lady. If you didn't get a postcard from Marilyn, then somehow she must not have known you existed. But I'll tell you what, being a part of our church, Marilyn was diligent and faithful at giving words of encouragement. I would dare say that the motivational gift of Marilyn Rose was this, the gift of exhortation. And it was sweet. When I saw a card come in, I would read that and it would be so encouraging. That's beautiful. That's a ministry. You say, well, that's not in front of other people. No, a ministry is sometimes seen, but many things are done behind the scenes. Number five, I want you to notice the gift of giving. What's the gift of giving look like? Well, this is a person who will sacrifice in order that they can give unto others. When I give, I know we think most of the time of our treasures, but we can think of our talents, we can think of our time. What ministries can a giver be involved in? A giver loves to give to missions. A giver will give when a special guest is here. He or she will give to church fundraisers. He or she will give to keep the soul-winning efforts going. He or she will give to help young people with ministry opportunities. They'll give towards the needs of the staff. On and on it will go. They will help in the various needs that are there. Number six, the gift of ruling. The gift of ruling. What does that look like? Well, this was a person who shares, who actually has an ability to administer some things before others. This is someone who will stand before other people and will motivate them to accomplish a goal, the gift of ruling. It is the ability to lead people. Not everybody has the ability to lead. It is the ability to see a need and to take the lead. That's the leader. That's the ruler here. What ministries can a ruler be involved in, or should they be involved in? Well, a ruler probably is somebody that would lead the Sunday school department. A ruler would be somebody who would be a song leader, a choir director. They might lead in the bus ministry. Lead a soul-winning partner, somebody that's just coming, is brand new, never been soul-winning before, and they'll say, look, I'll take you. You come along with me. I'll show you the ropes. That's a leader. That's a ruler. They're going to lead in an activity of the church. You know, a ruler is not willing to just sit down and watch everybody else do it. If they see chaos, here's what a ruler does. A ruler gets up and says, all right, let's go ahead and do this. I'll tell you what, move this right over here. Let's plan this way. That's what a ruler does. They just see a need, they go ahead and take the lead. So they're going to help try to lead in some activities, and it could very well be that special events that are had here at the church, that a leader, a ruler, would take those things. A ruler is going to lead and oversee special events or ministries of the church, children's ministries. Maybe they'll oversee and organize dinners at the church. That's what a ruler does. But the last gift I want you to see is number seven, the gift of mercy. What does that look like? Well, that's fresh in our minds from last week. This is a person who is sensitive to the needs of others that are suffering and literally has the ability to feel their pain. That's the gift of mercy. The gift of mercy. It's the ability to feel and show compassion to others who are hurting. It's the one who can get in the valley with that person and pull them up to where they need to come onto the mountaintop. Now, this is very similar to the gift of exhortation, but a ministry that a person with the gift of mercy could be involved in are, again, hospital visits. Ministering to senior saints, to widows. A person with the gift of mercy may serve as a deacon, may serve as an altar worker, may serve as at the nursing home, in the teen ministry, in the bus ministry, on and on. Now, what I've tried to do tonight briefly is I've just tried to whet your appetite. I've just tried to give you a little idea of how you could be involved. Now, tonight, if you have received this, I'd like you to pull this out for just a moment. If you've not received it, look on by somebody. I believe we have them in the back, or you can see Brother Conley afterwards. He may have them. And I want you to look at it for just a moment. I'm not going to have you take this here, but would you look up here for just a moment before you look at this? I truly want you to do something with this. Please don't put this on your countertop and let it sit there for several weeks. This week, take the time, be diligent, go through this, and find out where you are. Notice what this is. This is a spiritual gifts test. And the very front, you notice, they give an explanation of spiritual gifts. In fact, this actually complements, this is a free resource that is done. The college that we had come here, West Coast Baptist College, they have a publication ministry called Striving Together Publications. And this is a free resource that we're going to go ahead and begin making use from here on out. But he gives explanation of what are the spiritual gifts. But then I want you to open it up and I want you to look at where it says, taking the spiritual gifts test. It says here, you will find various questions that are designed to aid you in discovering how God has uniquely gifted you for His work. Using a scale of 1 to 5, 5 being the strongest, answer each question. Be sure to answer all the questions. Wait till you have completed each question to score your test. There are 42 questions. I'm going to flip to the back for just a minute, but I want to just hasten you by this. Would you look up here? When you take this test, what I want you to do is I want you to answer this honestly. Sometimes people take these tests and they go, well, I'd like to be that way. Don't answer like to be. Answer who you really are. Answer really what's in your heart. If you're strongly prone to do this, well, put a number 5. If it's pretty close, I mean, put a number 4. Try to answer. I mean, they give 1 to 4. 1 being weak, that's not even on your radar. I mean, you don't even care about that. Some of you don't have a gift of mercy, and so you're going to find some of the questions that have to do with mercy, and they're going to say, well, how would you feel about somebody about this particular scenario? And you go, no, I don't even care. I mean, I really don't. Well, you probably don't have the gift of mercy. And that's okay. You know why? Because you're able to compliment with somebody else who has that gift of mercy. Now, let's flip over to the side here and the back page and notice here at the ending of this test, the spiritual gifts test scoring key. Transfer the number that you circled to the blank. Now, where you circled, if you circled 5 for number 1, if you notice here on the back side, number 1, what you're going to do is put 5. However you answered number 2, you're going to put that number there. However you answered number 3. Now notice each of these are columns. Notice here question 1, 7, 13, all the way down to 37 is a column. All of those questions had to do with the ministry of helps. And he labels them a little bit differently, but that's the ministry of what the Bible says, ministry. You put your scores down there at the bottom. And what you're going to find is when you add those up in the columns, here's what you want to look at. You want to look at where you scored the greatest. Did I have the greatest score when it came to ruling? Did I have the greatest score when it came to encouragement, exhortation, or giving? And look at that gift and then ask yourself this question. Am I using that gift right now for the Lord? Am I involved in a ministry that is exercising that gift? And what I'd like to do in the coming weeks, especially with those who have joined here in the last year or so, those that don't necessarily have a ministry and have recently joined, I want to get with you. And so I want you to fill out these tests. I want you to go through them. I want you to think about where you are. What I like to do is talk. And one of the questions that I'm going to ask you is this. Where do you feel God has gifted you? Now you say, Pastor, is this test a perfect thing? No. All right? Please don't make this test that it's inspired like the Bible. Okay? Don't make your answers even that they're inspired. But I trust that it should give you a sense of where you are. And at least should jog your mind to a direction to help you see, this is where God wants me. This is what He's done. These are the things that I connect with. Because the one thing I hate to see is for someone to be involved in a ministry and they just don't like it. A person that does not have the gift of mercy probably doesn't like going to the nursing home. And they just say to themselves, I just hate this, but the pastor asked me to go, and I'm going because I don't want to disappoint the pastor, but I really don't like this. Well, can I say the pastor doesn't want you to go to the nursing home then if you don't have the gift of mercy? He wants you to go somewhere and do something along where you're gifted. Because we're in this for the long haul. We want to enjoy what we're doing. Can I say, I love what I do? I love it. I hope it's evident. You ought to love the ministry that God has given to you. And that comes because you are following along where you're gifted. Well, I believe that's enough said. I think that wraps it up. May the Lord help you. If you have questions, feel free to call. And we'll be glad to help you along those things. Let's pray together, and we'll close our service tonight. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this time. May you guide us. May you help us, I pray. And while heads are bowed, eyes are closed, I'm going to make this invitation simple. The piano's going to play in just a moment. But you say, preacher, I'm almost scared to take this test. I don't even know where I'm gifted. Here's what I'd like you to do tonight. I want to invite you to do this. Many of you sit back and you know God's prompting you to get involved and God's prompting you to come forward. I'm going to invite you to do this. If you don't know how God's gifted you yet, if you're not sure really where you're to be involved in the ministry, I'm going to ask you to do this. Make this an old-fashioned altar. Come right to the front. Sit on the front row. Kneel right at the stairs and pray before the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to know where you have me. I want to be used by you. Tonight it's this. It's you presenting yourself. Maybe some of you need to come and say, Lord, I'm presenting myself tonight as a living sacrifice. Maybe tonight there's some sin in your life and you're having a hard time figuring out because there's some things in your life that are kind of hindering that. And you need to cooperate with God and not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I don't know what the needs are, but I'm going to ask you across this auditorium to come and to get right before God and to yield yourself to Him and say, Lord, I want to know what you have for me. Maybe tonight you desire to join Calvary Baptist. When we begin singing tonight, you come. If you need to be baptized, you come. Whatever the need is, Brother Russ, others will be here to be able to counsel, be able to talk with you. And that's what this invitation time is for. Father, may you guide us in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet together. Just while the piano plays, would you come and do business with God while I pray up front here?